Bamidbar chapter 25. This chapter is a kind of weird chapter. I don't entirely know how to understand it in the context of the whole book or in the context of what exactly is the story, but I will talk about it and certain ideas of what it might be about. So we've understood that this is part of the third part of the book. It's part of the story of the Yidden where they're already close, they're already like sort of circling around Eretz Yisrael. And in another sense, we're already dealing, as we've seen already in the prophecies of Bilam, we're already dealing with all the nations that the people will have to deal with around them. So this is also a very important theme in the Drosha of Moshe, I think, in the beginning of Sefer Devarim, which I've been using as a way of interpreting all these stories already. So if you think of from the perspective of the people living in Eretz Yisrael, in Bayis Rishon, in Bayis Shani, whenever. Now, of course, there's the seven nations, the nations that they have to conquer in order to get there. So, okay, that's one subject. That subject is not so much a subject of the Torah, it's a subject of Sefer Yeshua and so on. But now, even after they solve that problem, or if they don't solve it, whatever happens with that problem, there's still all the neighbors. There's all the nations around and around. So now there's the question of how to interact, how to deal with all the neighbors around and around. Of course, Sefer Bereishis already talks about this question. There's all the stories of Esav and Yishmael and Moav and so on. All these stories of all these nations start in Sefer Bereishis, and they end up being our neighbors. So we're not conquering them, but we have their neighbor issues. Sometimes they do start wars with us. We have Amalek, right, which is one problem. They start wars with us. Sometimes we have to be nice to them. Sometimes they're stronger than us. Sometimes we're stronger than them. There's imperial power going in one direction or the other, and so on. Now, one other issue between the nations in between, right? So now another one, sometimes they're not diplomatically nice, right? Some of the stories we've had about Moshe asking Edom, could we pass by? And of course, these things will have repercussions or something like symbolic repetitions later when, sometimes we need a favor from a neighbor and they're not letting our airplanes pass by over their airspace or whatever it is. That's a very similar idea. What Moshe is saying here, we're on the way to Eretz Yisrael and we have to get through. We're not asking you, we're not conquering your land, we're going to pay you, we're going to buy your water, but sometimes they're not even agreeing to that, right? So just like there's all these kind of threats and relations with the neighbors, there's also spiritual threats, what we know in Tanakh very much as following the ways of the Goyim around them, specifically in worshipping Avodah Zarah. And it seems like this story of Benoy Smayav and the Baal Pa'ur is the most significant story in the Torah and the Chumash, which discusses something like that happening. And it also discusses some kind of solution or some kind of prototype of solution for it. And the role of Pinchas or the role of the Kehana maybe in general as solving that problem. So I think that's what is going on in this chapter from like a broader perspective of what it's all about. And we will describe, of course, the story of the Eagle is that, but this Eagle doesn't have is about the Zodah in some sense, but it doesn't talk about them following the Zodah of the nations around them. That's something that we see a little bit in Sefer Devarim, but mostly about the nations they will come to. Here we see, like, after we got rid of that, we're still going to be left with the Zodah of the nations around, and that's something we find in some sense later in Tanakh, more specifically, more stories about that. But this is the primary story, the paradigm story of that in the times of Moshe, where something like this happens. So what we have is like this. We have Ve'eshev Yisrael b'Shittim. They camp, they live, they are in the place called Shittim. And this is part of Moav. Ve'yochel am liznois al b'nois Moav. Then the people start to be zoyna, to sort of straight towards the daughters of Moav. Or Liznois means like to become, to prostitute themselves, or the word Zainab, I think stray maybe is a better translation, to Benois Moav. Now this, of course, this is one of the major ways in which in a friendly way, the nations around the Yisrael could cause them to sin, could cause them to stray from the correct path, specifically by intermarriage. We know the story of Shlomo HaMelech criticized for marrying foreign women who are caused them to worship Avodah Zarah. We know the stories in the times of Ba'as Shani with Ezra, with the foreign woman causing them to worship Avodah Zarah and so on. We know the Torah himself warning against this in Parshas Veschanon. So this is the story that talks about this, the happening in the times of Moshe. And now, exactly what the Torah describes is happening. This is exactly what happens. They call the people, the zivchele, into the sacrifices, or zevach, we always read, means also not just a sacrifice, it means a sacrifice where you eat also, where there's like a party for their gods. And therefore they eat, and therefore they also bow down. They v'shtachve lelehen, because that's what you do when there's a sacrifice, when there's a, maybe zevach should be translated as a festival, a holiday. And therefore, it's some of the Yisrael, Baal Peor, and Yisrael, these part of Yisrael, become connected, become attached to Baal Peor. Baal Peor being, as we discussed, Baal is a word that means something like Lord, Odin. So Baal Peor is this place where they just were. So Baal Peor, they become attached to this god of, foreign god of Peor. Ve'ichrav Hashem b'Yisrael, Hashem is very angry, because Hashem is very angry of Avodah Zarah. And what does he do for being angry? He deputizes, he sends a messenger, Moshe, and he tells him what to do. He says, Kach es kol rashi am. So apparently they were the leaders. Now we find out something more important. Not only like some, like a safsef, like some lower class people were part of this Baal Peor now. Also some leaders, some important people have went along with Baal Peor. And that's really a problem. And of course, this is also prefiguring something we see in Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah, where it's the important people, the high-class people, the Chayrim and so on, who are marrying, intermarrying with the foreign woman and therefore worshipping their gods and so on, Shlema and so on. And he tells, so Hashem tells Moshe, take these people, the leaders, the Roshayam, the heads of the people who are connected to Baal Peor, and spread them out, or put them out, in, because they hang them up, or something like that, for Hashem against the sun. And this might mean something like, kill them, string them out, put them out in front of the sun, so they will be killed publicly. That's the important thing, to be publicly. Neged Hashem means always publicly. Tach Hashem is like something where everyone can see. Publicly. So, v'yoshev charanaf Hashem Yisrael. Hashem is himself giving Moshe the solution. Like, how do you solve the charanaf Hashem? By publicly punishing, destroying these people who are going with Baal Peor. And that's what Moshe does. He tells the shoftim. So, of course, he can't tell the leaders themselves, because these are leaders. He tells the shoftim to... He tells the shoftim to kill each of the shoftim should kill his people who are attached to Baal Peor. So shoftim are each shoftim has some people under him. Maybe like we discussed in Parshas Yisra, right? The Sorei Alefim, the Shoftes Am, and so on. Each one is charged to take care of the Baal Peor worshippers of his group, of his part. So maybe if we read like this, we could say that Hashem is telling Moshe to tell the Roshei Am, which are the shoftim, to kill the Anoshev. Maybe that's one way to read it. Okay. Now, there's a new story, a new part of the story. So now a man, Ish usually means an important person, like we say, a high-class person, a person with power, comes, and v'yakrev el echav es ha-medyonis. He brings close to his brothers, a Midianite woman. So we have talked about Bnei Ismael. Now suddenly, there's also people from Midian there. Apparently, these are neighbors, so they're part of the same sort of the same group, the same part of people. So it might mean the same, might be the same area or something like that. And he tells them, and he brings a Midianite. So he's publicly defying what Moshe said, what Moshe has been trying to get out, the people, stop them from going with the Midianite woman and stop them from following the Midianites. So following Baal Peor is very publicly going against this, bringing the Midianites. And they're crying Pesach HaMoed. So remember, Pesach HaMoed is where they get together for every kind of problem, for everything that's going out. And it seems like they don't know what to do. Moshe and Adas Bnei Yisrael, which we've discussed, which means usually the leaders, the congregations, like the Sanhedrin, the people in charge, don't know what to do. And this is a situation, a very interesting situation, where Moshe and the people don't know what to do. And there's only one person who knows what to do, or another way of saying it, would have courage and does what needs to be done. So Pinchas, son of Elazar, son of Aharon, sees this, And he stands up, Metoichad. He's the only one that stands up. They're all standing there and crying. And he stands up, Metoichad. He's part of the congregation. He stands up. He takes a raimach. He takes a spear. He comes. He chases. It's not clear what that means. It means something like the tent or wherever they were. And he stabs them, both the man and the woman. El kuvasa. So again, el akuba, el kuvasa might be a word that has a double meaning. Might be also from the same shayrish. Interesting, we had in the same parsha, just in previous the shayrish kuva, right, which means a curse. So maybe it might be something like the place from where she is cursed, or her like private places, where we, which might call that way. And that solves the problem. Now we discovered that there was a magayf, there was a plague. 24,000 people died. And apparently that's why they were crying. And that's also the Charon Af Hashem. Of course, like Hashem, whenever it says in the Torah, Charon Af Hashem, it doesn't just mean Hashem is sitting in his house or something and brooding. It means that something bad is happening. And that's what is ascribed to Hashem Charon Af Hashem. Af Hashem means there was a Magayf already. And now this story of this Ish Yisrael bringing the Midianis is apparently just one example of the people, maybe the Rosh Ha'am, who are going to Baal Peor, who need to be killed, but it's very hard. They need courage to go against someone important, against a high-class person, against an elite person. It's not a simple thing. And Pinchas was, of course, also an elite. He's a son of Aharon, son of Elazar, so the grandson of Aharon. He has the courage. He takes the initiative to do that, and he kills these people that need to be killed. And that stops the Charon Af Hashem, and that stops the Magayf. And he was the only one who was able to do this. And for this, he gets a prize. And it's very interesting that the Parshas Pinchas stops the story here, ends here. But really, the chapter is in this case right. This is where this is all one long story. And Hashem tells Moshe, Pinchas, Ben Elazar ben Aharon, has brought back, taken away my anger from the people. The Kanei has Knesset, by angering my anger. He's been angry for me. He did what I did, and because of him, only because of him were the rest of the people saved. So the Magefa stopped because of him, and therefore he gets his reward. Give him as Bris Shulam, give him my covenant of peace. Now, what is this covenant of peace? I think it explains himself. What is that? That will be for him. This covenant will be for him a covenant of Kohuna. So, in other words, Pinchas will be inheriting the Kohuna from his father Elazar, who got it from Aharon. This, of course, there's a big question here, because it seems like we already know that Aharon get the Kohuna and is giving it to his children. But it seems like there's different ways of understanding this, but it seems like, at least from this story, it seems like the question of the succession after Elazar, we already know that Elazar was succeeding the Aharon. We learned that before. But there seems like the question after that was not solved, or maybe at least there might be several different children of Elazar, and maybe not all of them. But Pinchas, by taking this initiative, got this reward of becoming the Kohen Bris Kenas Olam forever, his family. And just because he tachas Hashkin love and repeats, because he did his anger, he took the initiative of fulfilling God's anger, of doing, and by that, Vechapel Abnei Israel, and saving the rest of the people from being destroyed. So that's the story of Pinchas. The end of this chapter is just giving a note of the names of the people that he died and were killed, and that shows us what was the courage of Pinchas, which wasn't said before. It's interesting, and this is a specific style that Psikim do sometimes. They give a story anonymously, and then they say who that was. It might be deliberate, like Pinchas didn't really care who they were. He just did it because these are some people causing damage to everyone else, right? And he's going to take the initiative and do that. But in the end, we get this note. Of course, we have already Pinchas' names. We know exactly who he is. We get also the note of who this is. The Ish Yisrael was Zimri ben Suli. And he is the Nosi Veis Av L'Shemani. So the leader of a Beis Av. It might not be the whole Shevet Shimon, but a Beis Av. We discussed one family, one group of families of Shevet Shimon. So he was an important person. And the woman who was killed from Midian, her name was Kozvi Basur, which was, and this Tzur, her father Tzur, we'll see later, we'll find him, meet him later, also in the story of the war with Midian. He is Roish Imay's Beis Av. He is also the leader, the head of a family in Midian. So both of these, on both sides, these were high-class people. And Pinchas was not afraid. He did what had to be done, even for that. And now we have a mitzvah from Hashem. And this shows us also that this whole story, I've made an audio on Mechemes Midian, the command from Mechemes Midian, the mitzvah. Of course, it's interrupted by the census in the next chapter. But this shows us that this whole story is not, like I said, it's a spiritual story, but it has obviously has some kind of meaning here. It has some kind of national or military meaning, because obviously when people get involved with other people, then maybe they find out the espionage, they find out what's going on, or somehow They are able to control you. They're able to subjugate you. And therefore, Hashem tells Moshe, find a way to make enemies out of them. So find a way to make enemies out of them. Why? Because they are enemies. They are hurting you. They're fighting with you, with their thoughts, right? Nechlem is thoughts or like plans or like espionage plans with Pa'od and with Cosby, the daughter of Nesi Midian, their sister, who was killed in the day of the Magaifa Ba'Pa'od. So we see that this whole thing with Nesi Midian was not so innocent. Maybe it was like a honeypot plan. But in any case, it was something. It's usually interpreted as just like a spiritual plan. They wanted to make us worship of the Zed, but I think that there's also some material aspect of this, and that was like their plan. They got the Nosi, and then they become friends with him, and then somehow they subvert the people from by that. And Hashem says, we realized that, and Pinchas helped us, and therefore we're going to go fight with the Midian. That will happen in later chapters, since there's going to be a stop for other things in the next chapter.